Hello, everyone. I'm Sam.
And I'm Monica.
And we're the Fullertons. And you are listening to Road Tripping Along the Military Highway, the Triumphs and Trials of Multiplying in Action. How are you doing today, babe?
I'm good. It's been a good Sunday.
It has been a good Sunday. I hope that each and every one of you are having a good day, regardless of which day it is in the week, whether you're listening to this on the road, at home, in the shower, who knows what you're doing, but we pray that you receive God's blessings today, his favor be upon your life and your family. And we're doing this, and we kind of want to, I'm going to turn this over to Monica to kind of explain the who, the what, the why, and basically our plan and our goal for this podcast.
So this is the first time we're doing a podcast, and we've never even been a guest on a podcast before, but God laid it on our hearts. It's been several months in the making, a good probably 4 or 5 months or so in the making, and going back and forth on whether we're going to do it or not and who would listen to it, or, you know, who might benefit from it, or, you know, and just going through those decisions, and then to getting the equipment and saying, okay, we're going to do this. And we just pray that God uses it. We wanted to do it because we just wanted to share our story and share our experience of starting a microsite. And we'll explain a little bit more about what a microsite is, but be able to use this to encourage people who may be wanting to start their own microsite through Mana Church, or in the broader sense, who may be hesitant to step out in faith in their calling and what God has called them to do, because it can be scary sometimes. And we're all human beings who have flaws, and none of us are perfect, but we have all been made on purpose for a purpose. And God wants to use us in all kinds of capacities. It may not be a microsite for you. It's a microsite for us at this time in our lives, but it may be something else for you. And so we just wanted to do this to share our experience, and hopefully it could encourage someone somewhere along the way.
Well, the other thing before we press on too, and just want everyone to remember and know about us, is yes, we grew up in the church and we serve in the church. However, we are not professional clergy or pastors or anything like that. We do have some training that Mana has provided, but we are just ordinary human beings that, you know, I'm in the military and Monica has a 9-to-5. So we have full-time jobs just like each and every one of you. Once again, just remember that too. If you are feeling like this is your calling, or if there's something else that God has placed on your heart, that He will equip you. Jesus, when He was on the earth, He chose fishermen. He didn't choose the religious experts or the Pharisees. He went to the lake to find His followers, not the church. So just remember that. Take courage in that, and just remember that as we press forward. Before we talk about a microsite, I wanted to take some time to explain what Mana Church is, what their vision is, who they are, and who we are as a church, and what binds us together, and what's our culture. So Mana's vision is, we believe our Mana Church mission is to glorify God by equipping His people to change their world, and by planting churches with a world-changing vision. So we accomplish this by helping God's people discover their individual gifts and callings, creating an environment where these may be developed, and deploying God's people into their world to be salt and light. Our small groups are designed to help accomplish this goal. One way, and the best way, that Mana does that is with the Growth Track. So the Growth Track is it's a series of small groups designed to train and equip followers of Jesus to be leaders in their community. So the thing that you need to know and understand about Mana Church is we are in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And Fayetteville is home to Fort Bragg. And every year, the church experiences a large amount of turnover just with military families PCSing and moving on to the next duty station. So the church has to equip people and prepare people to step into positions of service and positions of leadership. Because if we didn't, and if the church doesn't, then we would really be hurting as far as missions and as far as serving our people.
And that keeps people involved and in the church no matter where they go. They don't ever have to lose that.
Yep. The growth track is it's a series of small groups that each last 4 or 8 weeks. So first step is 4 weeks long. It's MANA's three values, which is love God, love each other, and love the world. And 9 healthy habits for a vibrant relationship with God and for discipling others. So the three values of MANA I just said is love God, love each other, and love the world. So MANA does that, and we do that with loving God through inspiring worship experiences, loving each other through life-giving small groups, and loving the world through world-changing outreaches. So as you can see, we have an inward, outward, and upward view and perspective on life and Christian fellowship. So that is discovered, and that foundation is laid in first step. After that is next step. It's 4 weeks long, and it goes over MANA's mission to advance the kingdom of God. And then once believers are done with that and they feel like they need to or they want to proceed, then they go through leader step, which is 8 weeks, and it covers MANA's 12 operational principles and biblical keys to everyday living and everyday leadership. At the end of that, there is a question that, you know, maybe you want to take MANA Church with you. Maybe you are interested in starting a microsite. And then there is an additional step that you can seek out, and it's called MicroStep. And it teaches you and gives you the tools to start a microsite, what is needed, what the church requires or asks of you to do, and then you can take, you know, MANA Church wherever you PCS to.
So, good segue. What is a microsite? A microsite is just an expression of MANA wherever you are. And there are microsites going right now that some of them meet in homes. Some of them meet in gyms. Some of them are trying to find a place to meet. But it's a church, albeit most of the time when they're starting out, a small church, like a home church. But some of these microsites have already, you know, grown in the last year or two to, you know, 50 to 75 people. So it's a church just starting out. Is what it is, really.
Yeah, and Fort Leonard Wood, I think they're averaging around 60-some, and they meet in a CrossFit gym, and then there's others. MANA Church in El Paso, they have about 15, and they meet in the leader's home. So once again, it's so three things that all microsites and all expressions of MANA Church need to have. It's name, logo, and growth track. So they carry MANA's name, they have their logo, which is a orange gem, and they adopt and they bring people through the growth track. Once again, the reason they do that, because military families are going to move, and we don't want to lose that foothold in that community. I know there's several, I think Indiana, Bomb Holder, and there's a few others that the leaders are PCSing. So that means somebody else is going to step up and take the mantle and lead that MANA Church.
Right. So that's what we're doing in a nutshell. That's what we're doing. And I'm sure that we'll explain more as we go along and get further into doing some podcasts, and we'll share different aspects of it. But right now, what we want to do is just share a little bit about our personal church history and a little bit about what has gotten us to this place. So I was born and raised into a Christian home. My parents were fairly new believers when I was born. I was born in Hawaii and spent a good 30 years of my life in Hawaii before moving to what we call the mainland. It's the continental U.S. My parents were, as long as I can remember, from the time that I can remember, always very involved in the church and always had us as kids very involved in the church. We started out in the Church of God, and then when I was about 4 or 5 or so, my parents connected with another pastor who was in the Church of God, and they decided to go in and become independent, become an independent non-denominational church. And then it is at that church that I spent a majority of my growing up and into well into my 20s. And at the, so I would say that that church is what molded me, for the good or for the bad. It wasn't, there were good times. We did eventually step away from that church, but it was a very legalistic church. Some outside of it called it a cult at times. We were it was condemnation all around. That's what I grew up with as and felt as a child and as a teen, just constant condemnation. I mean, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to hell. If you don't do this plus do that, you're going to hell. It was a lot of that. There were experiences, very real experiences, growing up where I had personal touches from God, but for the most part, everything was through the pastor. I didn't know or have a real personal relationship with God. Everything was through the pastor. And if you weren't touched by the pastor, you weren't touched by God. That's just how I felt growing up. And so fast forward some years, there were things going on, and a bunch of us, my family included, and about half the church decided to leave that church. And when we did, I personally was left at a crossroads. I didn't know. The experience left a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't know whether I wanted to continue on. I didn't know if God was real. I was questioning whether God was real. I was questioning whether God had ever been real to me. But at that time, I had 2 children. And despite how I felt, the one thing that I did want for my children was that community. I at least liked that part of it, that part of church. I wanted my children to have the church community and grow up with that. Because growing up, you know, we are the best of friends in our church, you know. And so I wanted my kids to have that. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to I'll go to church, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to sit in the back. I'm going to go to church just to be able to take my kids to children's church. That's what I decided at that point. And so I did. First I went church looking, and then I settled at a church in Hawaii called New Hope. At that time, they were meeting in a high school. They may still, I don't know, it's been a little while now, but they were meeting in Farrington High School, and it was stadium seating in the auditorium. And so the first time I walked in, I went straight up to the top and sat in the last row all the way up at the top, and just sat there. And then the next week did it again, and the next week did it again. Well, before you know it, every week it was, I would leave there thinking, man, that was that they were talking just to me, as if there were no one else in that auditorium. And God was speaking to me and slowly but surely just healing a lot of the hurt and the pain that I had experienced growing up in my previous church. And before you know it, I'm, you know, going up and sitting a row closer and then a row closer and then a row closer. And then met some people and started to get involved in different ministries at the church. And it was such a great healing and growing experience for me. And one of the best decisions was to decide that, okay, I'm going to go to church, but I'm not going to do anything, you know, and that allowed the time and the grace and God just slowly but surely and lovingly calling me back, something that I hadn't experienced. And it reminds me of a song that we sang today in church. That the words are, because all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And so I went to that church for several years, and then through different reasons or whatnot, I decided to leave Hawaii. And my kids and I was divorced. And so it was just my kids and I, and decided to move to Montana, was the place of choice at that time for different reasons. But so I, you know, sold a lot that I had and moved to Montana with some clothes and some shoes, basically. And I remember stepping off the plane in Montana in my Hawaii flip-flops, in my Hawaii slippers on December 26th with, you know, 2 feet of snow on the ground. Let me tell you, that doesn't work. It hurts, actually. And I learned very quickly that I had to get rid of a lot of my slippers and change to boots and shoes and
stuff. Slippers are Hawaiian for sandals, just in case everybody's... like what are slippers? So sandals are called slippers in Hawaii. So
yes. So anyway, I got to Montana, and I, you know, one of the first things I wanted to do was look for a church again. And so I went church searching again, and went to several churches over several Sundays. And you know, those several churches were like, oh, okay, like I may be able to do this, but I'm going to keep looking. So finally, on about the fourth or fifth Sunday, I was in Great Falls, Montana. I was going to go check out Faith Center. And the kids and I, we didn't know it at the time, but we walked in through a very back door. We didn't know it wasn't the church door. We walked in, we parked in a back parking lot and walked in through a back door that you had to come down a long hallway to get to the sanctuary. And as we were walking, we were a few minutes late, and the music had started already. The worship service had started already. And I remember my daughter and I, who was a teenager at that time, we looked at each other and was like, this is it. Like, it just felt like home, immediately felt like home and where we belonged. And so we walked in there, and this is where actually Sam and I's paths crossed, because he was stationed in Great Falls, Montana at the time. And on that very first Sunday, this is going to sound awful, but I looked around, because we're new and I'm still checking things out, but I noticed the piano player up there, and he immediately caught my eye. And, you know, I
see young kids, church. That's where you find your husband or your wife.
The best place to find them. Yep. Anyway, I told Ashley, I'm like, hey, Ashley, you know, see if this guy has a ring on his finger, because, you know, if he, I'm not telling her, but in my mind, if he has a ring, I'm not even going to, you know, look another second. But if Standards. He doesn't have a ring, you know, I may keep looking. And so Ashley, she's looking, you know, trying to check out if this guy has a ring on his finger through worship service. And eventually she's like, no, he doesn't have a ring on his finger. I'm like, oh, great. Anyway.
That was definitely divine because you were done with men. That's what you said. I mean, you were just content to remarry again. So
it's crazy. I had gotten to that place where I was after, I don't know, it had been, you know, good 5 or so, 6 years or so, I had gotten to the place where I was just content and, you know, just living life. And if it happened again, it happened. Or if it didn't, I was fine and would be fine.
I think it was just my charm and good looks. So you just couldn't resist.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yep.
So anyway, that definitely is the church we stayed at. And got very involved in. I got involved in multiple ministries in the several years that we were there. And I'll talk a little bit about this only because it played into my decision of whether or not I wanted to do a microsite or not. But we had gotten so heavily involved in ministries there, too many, probably.
Way too many. We were spread too thin. We had a lot of, I mean, by the time we left that church, we were pretty burnt out, to be honest, by the time we PCS'd.
Right. Yeah. And, yes, and that weighed on us. You know, we were doing so many ministries that we couldn't do any one of them really well, yeah. We felt like. And when we got down to leaving, I remember the pastor praying over us and telling us to learn how to say no and, you know, say yes to that one and do that one ministry well. And so when we did leave, shortly after Sam and I got married, probably about 3-ish months or so, we got married on December 31st, 2008, and in March of 2009, he got orders to England, and we were leaving, you know, in August. And so fairly newly married into the Air Force, and we're, you know, headed overseas now. But we took that experience that we had together at the church in Montana and took that into England. And England ended up being a very different church experience for us. We ended up attending Hillsong in London, which was a 2-hour commute one way for us. And so we didn't go every Sunday. We went every other Sunday and we weren't able to get involved.
There's no way.
Yeah. I mean, right. When they might've had, you know, Sam plays music and plays on the worship teams in most every church we've attended. And when they might've had, team building meeting or just rehearsal or practice or whatever would be on a weeknight, we wouldn't have even been able to make it down there because of the amount of time that it takes. So we didn't get involved in Hillsong London, but we just sat under that ministry and was fed and rejuvenated, really, at that time. We did get involved on base and at the chapel on base with several things, and Sam with, you know, men and Bible study, and me with women helping out, which is very good. And we were able to pour ourselves into that because we didn't have at that time so many different things and different ministries going on. And then from England, we spent 4 years in England. From there, Sam went on a 1-year tour to Korea. I went from England to Florida, where he was going to be stationed next. And so he, after that year in Korea, he came to Florida, and we, I found a church in that year that I was in Florida by myself, but I knew that it was a church that I liked decently well after I had attended and looked and gone to several different other churches, church searching again. And anybody who's in the military knows about that. Every time you PCS, you've got to, you know, find a new hairstylist, find a new doctor, find, you know, if you're a woman, you're looking for a new hair salon or, you know, new nail salon or all those things. And amongst those things is finding a new church for us. And one of the hardest things to, it's not fun to us to have to look for a new church every time we move.
Not at all.
And
it's horrible.
It is. And we've walked into some that we've walked almost immediately back out of. Or
yes, yeah.
We've stayed in, you know, as long as we could last and then would walk out of it. Or we would last till the end of the service and say, yep, definitely not that one. And, you know, keep searching. It's,
I mean, at least we haven't gone into one and, like, you know, they've, the start of the service, they haven't pulled out the snakes and, you know, who's up? Yeah. So that we haven't experienced that, which is a blessing.
But yeah.
Some of those, we definitely sat in the back and slipped out pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, I knew that when Sam got there, it might be a different thing and we might need to look for one that worked and we fit in for the both of us, not just me. And so when Sam did get there after that year in Korea, you know, he tried the church that I was going to, and then he did say, let's, you know, look. So we went to a few other churches, and then at that time just felt like the one that I had started out in was the one for us for that time. And so we attended that church and got involved in that church, and Sam, you know, got involved in ministries, and we both got involved in the children's ministry. It was where there was the most need at the time. And I continued with working with women within Sam's squadron, and, you know, Sam continued fellowshipping with men in his squadron. And that's what we did for the several years that we were in the panhandle at Hurlburt Field in Florida. And then Sam got orders to Fayetteville, Fort Bragg. And so we've been here now for 3.5 years. And again, when we got here, we had to go through the church searching thing again. And ended up at Manna. And I remember walking in. I mean, this time we try something new every time we PCS. Sometimes it's going one time and then nope, then going to another church one time, nope, let's find another, you know, and so on and so forth. This time we decided, you know what, let's try and let it sink in a little bit before we make the no decision. Like, maybe we're missing something. We're not staying long enough if it's just one time. And so this time we decided, let's go several weeks in a row, and then we'll try another church for several weeks in a row. And so we did that for several churches, and Manna didn't necessarily stick out as this is the one right away. I mean, Manna was the first one we went to, and like, we were like, no, let's keep going. And so we kept going. And then after attending several others, let's go back and try Manna again. And, you know, sit under it for several more weeks before making a decision that that's where we wanted to go. So that's what we did. We went back to Manna and then decided at the time that Manna was the best we felt we had, best choice we felt we had in the area. And it was after some time and seeing more and more and learning more and more about Manna's mission and the calling and seeing how they train and equip people and send them out and their involvement in the community, that was huge to us. So it took a little bit of time for us to settle in and just learn to love Manna. And, you know, Manna just grew on us after time and after going, you know, getting involved and going through the growth track. And doing, you know, getting involved in the different things that they did in the community and serve days and all of that. And just the culture of Manna just really grew on us. And so we got to the point where we knew this was a controlled tour for Sam. He was only going to be here 4 years. And after learning about the microsite and being able to plant a microsite wherever we go, we thought maybe that's what we need to do, you know. And we'll talk more about that next time, about how we came to the decision to start a microsite. But I want Sam to be able to talk about his church history.
Yeah, I'm going to talk just a little bit. I don't think I'm going to take too much time on mine. I grew up in church, was saved at an early age, involved in music throughout the church, with played piano, played drums, sang, led some youth groups. Throughout our journey, my wife and I, we both felt a call and desire to serve wherever we were at, whatever community we were in, and that's what we did. You know, it's scripture says, whatever your hand finds you to do, do it with all your might. So, you know, England, we didn't have a chance to necessarily serve in the church, but we served the church without walls, which is one of Manna's principles. So we'd served in our community. We served within our squadron, which is, you know, our brigade for you Army folk. And we served the people there. We did Bible studies there within the work community. And we were able to meet the need where we were at. And that is what we did.
And love on the people where we were at. Love
no matter where we're at. I know, you know, in England, there was a person, receptionist, she was British, and I kept inviting her to Bible studies, like, hey, come on, you should come, you know, there's food. So one thing, and I know that if people ever even lived in England or went over to visit England, is the food is awful. Like, it is horrible. So our Bible study, I made food each week, and I'm like, Lee was her name. She was the British lady that worked in our reception area. I'm like, hey, you got to come, you know, to Bible study. It's like, if anything, just come eat food. You know, you don't have to interact. You can just sit there and listen and eat. Anyway, she came because, you know, American food is awesome, and I happen to be a decent cook.
I mean, let's be honest here. It was, you were her work spouse.
Yeah.
She loved her some Sam.
Yeah. So anyway, so she started to come regularly to Bible study, and then she started to get involved, and she would read, you know, the scriptures that we were reading. She would ask questions. So you could see those seeds start to grow, and it was amazing. And eventually, like one day we met, she brought her daughters, which, I mean, they were, you know, further from God than even Lee was. So you never know, you know, what God is going to do when you take faith and when you take steps of faith. And our next podcast is going to share with how we came to the decision to start a microsite, what we're going to do with that, and the faith that we are going to, you know, step out in, and just know and believe that God is going to be faithful, and He is going to meet us when we take those steps of faith. And to close out, I want to read a scripture for us and kind of what we both feel is our, I would say, commissioning scripture. It's Matthew 28:19-20. It's when Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven, and He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And when Jesus told His disciples to go, He was commissioning them. He was anointing them, appointing them. It's funny, in the military, you know, some are commissioned officers and others are non-commissioned officers. Well, regardless, I know as a senior NCO, you read this senior NCO creed when you make E7, which for us is Master Sergeant in the Air Force. So you read this creed, and it tells you all the things that you are charged of doing. So you're charged of blah, 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 and you're charged of this, and you're charged of that. Those are your responsibilities. And so Jesus here, he's commissioning them. He's charging his disciples, telling them to go. And we feel like that us starting a microsite is our commission to go, our commission to move forward and to make disciples and to spread the good news and to proclaim sight to the blind and to spread and show God's love, faithfulness, and mercy, no matter where we go and where we're at. And so with that, I'm gonna pray and close us out here. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those listening to this podcast. Lord, we thank you for those with desires on their heart to serve you, with desires and passions to make your name known and your name great. And Lord, we thank you for our men and women in uniform, and we pray your blessings over their families, your blessings over their careers. Lord, that you would take what you have given them and that you would multiply it, that you would take what you have given them, that you would give them boldness and courage to walk out in their callings and to trust in you and to know that you will step out in faith and that you will reward when they step out in faith and when they act. And we thank you for all these things. We praise you for them. We praise you, Lord God, that you are great and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, in this time, we pray that your boldness, that your courage, that your strength would be upon us as we move forward in our walk with you and as we move forward in our walks and our careers. Amen.